First of all, I want to thank everyone for coming. This week we're not gonna actually start Pirkei Avos Lezer. We're gonna start an introduction to Pirkei Avos Lezer, with basic things about, first of all, what we're gonna say, what this year is about, what are we gonna do in the year, who wrote Pirkei Avos Lezer, what is Pirkei Avos Lezer, and if we have time, a few other ideas about maybe about the Mechaber, about naming Sfarim in general. So the Nekuda is like this. What is Pirkei Avos Lezer? So Pirkei Avos Lezer is a sefer over here, written by, it's a sefer from Tanoim, from Chazal. It's a medrash, and it's like other medrashim, that, like, what a medrash is that it adds a layer of interpretation, of explanation, to whatever it says in the Torah Shebichtav. It goes through psukim and adds extra things. Especially Pirkei Avos Lezer in specific, especially goes through the stories of Sefer Bereishis, especially Bireas HaOlam, and other stories in Sefer Bereishis. A few other places in Tanakh also it touches on, but the focus of most of the things that Pirkei Avos Lezer talks about are things in Sefer Bereishis. But Pirkei Avos Lezer is a little bit unlike other Midrashim in a few ways. First of all, Pirkei Avos Lezer, other Midrashim that we're familiar with, Medrash Rabbah, Medrash Tanchuma, these type of things, even Medrash Seicheltai, Medrash Lekachtai, which were written later, but they're also Midrashim, they go in the order of the Psukim. They're really written as a Pirish on, you know, Medrash Bereishis Rabbah is a Pirish on Sefer Bereishis. It goes almost Pasuk by Pasuk. It says this Pasuk brings explanations on this Pasuk, the next Pasuk brings explanations on this Pasuk. Pirkei Avos Lezer is not like that. Pirkei Avos Lezer is a Sefer broken up into Prakim, and each Parak is Pachos V'Yoser a different topic or a different discussion, and in the discussion in each parak it says all kinds of different ideas and drush, and sometimes it brings the pasuk that it's talking about, sometimes it doesn't bring the pasuk that it's talking about, and a lot of things in Pirkei Avos Lezer goes like completely like off topic from what you thought it was talking about. It just goes in a, it takes a turn and then it starts talking about this, and then it talks about this, and then it starts takes a turn. So a lot of the interesting thing, a lot of the interesting points in Pirkei Avos Lezer come out from things that are not mamish on the topic. So that's how Pirkei Avos Lezer is similar to Midrashim, and it's different than a lot of the other Midrashim. Also, Pirkei Avos Lezer, there's a lot of Sfarim in Chazal that we have the Gemara. The Gemara is not miyuchas to a specific person. We know that we say that Ravina and Ravashi were the ones that sort of edited the Gemara, but the Gemara is it's a general work from Chazal, but we have other Sfarim from Chazal that are miyuchadik person. For example, the Gemara says that Seder Olam was written by Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. We say that Medrash Tanchuma is apparently miyuchas to someone named Rav Tanchum or Rav Tanchuma. Ovis Rabbi Nosson is a pirsh on Maseches Ovis from the Tana, the last generation Tana Rabbi Nosson, who's a contemporary of Rabbeinu Kaddish. We have others from, let's say, the Zohar is Miuchas to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. We have Mechilta de Rashbi, Mechilta de Rabbi Shmuel, Sefros. Could be a different sugya. We say Stam Sefror, Stam Sefri. I don't know if it means that it was written by that or it was written according to his opinion. We have different Sfarim and Chazal that are Miuchas to different people. So Pirkei Avos Lezer is Miuchas to the Tana Rabbi Eliezer. We're going to speak a little bit more about him in a moment. I just want to explain what we're going to do in the shir. There's a few nekudas. First of all, what I want to do in the shir is push it to read through what it says in Pirkei Avos Lezer, read like line by line and translate it and understand push it pshat and what it's saying, what's going on over here, as far as we can understand. Some things are just kabbalistic things that you have to know what in the world you're talking about. But as far as we can understand, say push it pshat. The other thing is to speak about different difficulties that arise when we're reading it, and say, what does this mean? What's the kashas, and explain what the kashas are, and especially what I think is important is to compare what it says in Pirkei Avos Lezer with what we find in other Sfarim, in Gemaras and in Targumim and in Rishonim, and see how does Pirkei Avos Lezer fit with what we have Maseres from other Midrashim, and what's there a Machlekes? Is there a way to understand what's the sherish of the machlekes? That's another nekuda that we want to do in studying Pirkei Avos Lezer. We're going to discuss in a moment the different mafarshim that exist on Pirkei Dabzer. So one of the things that I would do in preparing for the shir is to go through, look at the mafarshim and try to see which ones are relevant to the ilam, and while we're reading it, to speak out some of the different pshatim that the mafarshim say and the issues that the mafarshim discuss. Now, as I'm saying, I'm not pretending to be, you know, a huge Talmud Chacham and saying that I know everything. I'm just trying to bring out the discussion, try to facilitate the discussion. I'm going to really depend on the Olam, every one of you guys, to ask questions and bring Ha'aras, and if we have a question, maybe someone else will have a Teretz. I'm not pretending to know everything, so I'm just trying to help be Mesader things. You know, if you heard a pshat in something that Pirkei Dabzer says, or if you saw a pshat, or if you thought of a pshat, or you have a question, feel free, completely free to say it. I'm not saying that I have an answer, but maybe someone else has an answer. We could just to speak about it, pasha. What I would try to take achrayus for, at least, is to balance going weiter and covering ground with analyzing and having a better havana in what it's saying. So, you know, sometimes I'll be like, okay, we have a nice discussion, then we got to go weiter now. Just push it, because otherwise, you know, you can keep handling and handling, and you're never going to get anywhere. This edition that I have of Pirkei Dabzer, it's a very nice print. It's also very expensive. From Zichron Aaron in Muncie. So it has different mafarshim, and a lot of what I'm going to say is going to be based on the classic mafarshim on Pirkei Dabzer. It's brought down in the Hakdam of the Pirush Radal on Pirkei Dabzer. It says that the Vilna Gaon said that when you learn a sefer, you should know who wrote it, which could be the point we might have time to discuss maybe later tonight. But you should know who wrote the sefer. So I'm just going to go through the different pirushim that exist in this edition and say who wrote it. The most basisi pirush on Pirkei Dabzer, it's sort of like Rashi, but he doesn't have so much. It's called Bayis HaGadol. It's also printed at some point also under a different name called Bior Maspik, but it's really called Bayis HaGadol. It was written by Rav Avram Aaron Breida, who lived in Vilna. His sefer was printed in the 1830s, so he lived in the early to mid 1800s. He wrote a few other sfarim, including Beis Vad, which is interesting sefer on halachas of things that you're supposed to be doing sitting up or standing down. So that's an interesting sefer that he wrote. And another sefer called Lishkatz HaSefer, which is a sefer on Hilchos Stam, a sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. Another mefarish that we're going to use a lot on Pirkei Dabzer is Pirush, I call him Marzu. Other people call him Marzav. I pronounce it as Marzu. He also lived in Lithuania, and originally in Grodno and in Vilna in the early 1800s. And he's more famous, I think, for his Pirush on Medrash Rabbah, called also Pirush Marzu or Marzav, whatever you want to call it. His name is Rav Zev Wolf Eichenhorn. And he lived in Grodno in Lithuania, and then later on in Vilna, in the early to mid 1800s. He wrote this Marzu on Pirkei Dabzer, and he also wrote Marzu on other on Medrash Rabbah. The third mefarish on Pirkei Dabzer is Rav David Luria. He was also that in that same tkufa in the early 1800s in Lithuania. And he was looked at as the leader of Lithuanian Jewry after the death of the Vilna Gaon. He's known as the Radal. The Radal wrote tons of things. His Hagois are printed in the back of the Gemara. Hagois Radal on the Gemara. He also wrote the different Svarim. The Radal was Mamish a Baki in Kol Torah Kula, from Nigla to Nistar, and all the things that he discusses a lot of things that are Nigla, a lot of Nistardik, and. And we're not gonna. He's the most comprehensive mefarish on Pirkei Dabzer. We're not gonna say every single shtick of the Radal, but some of the ones that we can at least begin to understand, I'll try to say over, and we can discuss it and see what he's bothered by. Another mefarish on the Pirkei Dabzer in this edition is called Par Echad. It was written by Rav Chaim Falachi, who Be'erich lived in the same time, the early 1800s. He lived a little bit earlier than the three other Mefarshim. He was not in Lithuania. He lived in Turkey. and he was actually the Chacham Bashi of Izmir, and he wrote a sefer called Parei Achad. He doesn't have so many Shtiglach Torah, but he has a few. There's also another Mefarish called Veloy Oid Ella, but from Rabbi Leo HaKoyen of Izmir, who wrote a lot of Sfarim also, but I don't think we're going to be speaking out his Torah so much, because I haven't really been myself to understand too much of what he says, and it's more like Jewish, that's sort of like off topic sometimes, but maybe we're going to say from that. I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do with him. These are the basic mefarshim that we have on Perek Yud Elazar. I just want to say over the Radal wrote a Hakdama to Perek Yud Elazar, and I want to say over a few Nukudas from the Radal's Hakdama. The first, as we said before, that we said that the Perek Yud Elazar is Miuchas Tetana Rabbi Eliezer. So the Radal, the first part of his Hakdama, he notes that this Sefer Perek Yud Elazar, Hasefer Zeh Hanikur Befi Kol Yishen B'Shem Perek Yud Elazar, Hu Hachibur Harishon Shechaber BeYisrael Achash Enechtam Achazayin Ksiva Sefer Nevuah. Says it's the first Sefer that was written after Tanakh. This is the first Sefer that was written. There was Torah Shebichsav, and then there's this. This was the first thing that was written. And then V'Loi Nimtza Itonu Chibur Mukdam B'Zman Loi. We don't have any Sefer that was written before Perek Yud Elazar. That's what he says. The Radal. Va'af Loi Noida. We don't know anything else that was written before. And then he has a whole richas about Megillas Tainus, which the Gemara discusses. Megillas Tainus was a list of days that you are not allowed to fast on. Happy days that you're not allowed to fast on. And the Gemara says that Megillas Tainus is butler, but it was written in the time of the early Tanaim by somebody named Hanani ben Chizkiah, right? Hanani ben Chizkiah ben Gurion. Who wrote it down? So the Radal says that could be he lived earlier, but he was, because it says the Gemara says that he was from Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, so the Radal is saying that he wasn't really a Talmud of Hillel. He was like from Beis Hillel. He learned there, but he wasn't really from the time of Hillel. He lived after Hillel. That's what the Radal wants to say. It was written later, but Perek Yud Elazar was the first thing that was written. That's one nukuda he wants to say. However, even though we say that Perek Yud Elazar is written from Rabbi Eliezer the Tana, but it's mukhach from the Sefer itself that there were things that were added on later. He brings that the Sefer Yuchsin, Meshe Zakuta and the Sefer Yuchsin says by, Sefer Yuchsin goes through the different Tanaim and Amoraim and says like, says a little bit about them. So he says about Rabbi Eliezer HaKofer, that Rabbi Eliezer HaKofer was one of the later Tanaim. And he says, even though Rabbi Elazar Kofar is quoted in Perek Yud Elazar, which was, as we said, is the first sefer that was ever written, so you would think that if it was the first sefer written, how could it quote somebody who's a mamish a later Tana? So he says, no, you should know that even though Perek Yud Elazar was written by Rabbi Elazar, and the Radal saying it's the first sefer that was ever written, but it has later editions. So there were things that were added on Perek Yud Elazar that came afterwards. Maybe sometimes we could point out things that are like obviously written afterwards, but that's the Yisod. The Yisod is that it was written by Rabbi Elazar, could be the first sefer even, and there were things that were written that were added afterwards. Another nekuda that the Radal adds in his Hakdama to Perek Yud Elazar is something that I actually noticed myself. That he also points it out that a lot of things in Perek Yud Elazar are also found in Targum Yonis on Chumash, especially in Sefer Bereishis and Shmos. A lot of the different Jerushim or whatever that you don't really find elsewhere, like Medrash Rabbah doesn't say like this, so, but Perek Yud Elazar does say it, and also Targum Yonis says it. So you have to understand what's the relationship between Perek Yud Elazar and Targum Yonis. One learns from the other learns from the one, or they were written maybe by similar people, I don't know. It's just something interesting to keep in mind. He says a lot of different nekudas over here in Zakhtoma. Just one more nekuda is that a lot of things in Perek Yud Elazar, we should know that the Perek Yud Elazar that we have in front of us is not the complete Sefer. There's a lot of things in the Sefer that apparently are missing. We have he has in Eiz Zayin in his Akhtama, he quotes from different Rishenim that quote different things in Perek Yud Elazar that we Pasha don't have those things. So he wants to prove from that Pasha, there's things missing from what we have. So our Perek Yud Elazar is incomplete, and also it has extra additions. One of the things, one of the themes that comes up in this, for a few prokim in the sefer, is it talks about the asara yiridus that Hashem came down to the world. We don't know exactly what that means, but we'll see what that means. But if you look at it, it doesn't actually count 10 of them. It doesn't count with 10. It comes, I think, with 8. So there's 2 missing. So there's parts of the sefer that are missing. It goes through a pirush, and it has a pirush on the brachas of Shmoneh Esreh, but it doesn't actually go through all the brachas. There's some brachas that are missing. So I think it gets up to Rifa'inu or something like that, right? You know, okay. So I think it gets up to like Rifa'inu, and then it stops, and then so what happens to the rest of it? Okay, so there's things that are missing. That's another nekuda on in the Hakdama of the Radal. Just a point about the name of the sefer Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. If you look in Rishonim, the sefer is a mukubal sefer in the Jewish bookshelf, and you know, Claudius has been learning it for hundreds, if not close to 2,000 years, whatever. In different Sfarim, they quote the sefer under different names. So it's interesting to know why we call it Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Seder of Amram Goyin, from one of the Goyinim, he brings down. He calls the sefer Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. That's the name that he gives the sefer. There's a Tesis in Ksubis. Tesis in Ksubis on Tzarek Tesam and Aleph calls it Hagodas to Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. There's a Tesis in Megillah on the Gilean and Rashi. The Tesis in Megillah calls it Braisa to Rabbi Eliezer. That's also what the Radak in the Sefer Shirashim on the word Iver, he calls it Braisa to Rabbi Eliezer. The Rashi, the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim. He in at least two places in Maran Avuchim calls it Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. The name that we call it Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer comes from Rashi. That's what Rashi calls it. Rashi in two places in Sefer Bereishis, Chav Zayin Tes and Yud Beis Yud Zayin. Rashi calls it Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Also Rashi in Pirush on Sefer Yoino in Perek Aleph calls it Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. And also Tesis and Shabbos on Kuf Dalet brings down Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. He calls it Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. But all these other Mefushim, they call it Pirkei Reb. Also the Rekech, there's another name for it. The Rekech calls it Prokim de Rabbi Eliezer. So they have the different Mefushim called different things. Prokim de Rabbi Eliezer, Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Hurkunus, Hagadus de Rabbi Eliezer, Breis de Rabbi Eliezer. It's just interesting to note. Kubi, I was just thinking about this too much, and most people won't be bothered by this, but if you actually think about the name Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, it doesn't make any sense. Because Pirkei means chapters of, de Rabbi Eliezer means of Rabbi Eliezer. So if you translate the name of the sefer, it's chapters of Rabbi Eliezer. I don't know. It could be I was just thinking about this too much. But that's the name that we call it. We could have called it Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, like the Rambam, or Prokim de Rabbi Eliezer. I don't know. It's just interesting that we go with what Rashi calls it Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Another Nakuda, we said that, what time is it? Does it have a time? What?
8:10.
Okay. We said that the Sefer is written by Rabbi Eliezer, is Miuchas to the Tanna Rabbi Eliezer, and it has other things that were written, that were added on afterwards. So, some of Forshim want to say that the first two prokim of Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, and I think this makes a lot of sense, the first two prokim of Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer is the story of how Rabbi Eliezer, went from being a Pashat farmer to becoming, you know, one of the Gederi HaTanoim. That's the first story in Pirkei Eliezer, that's the first two prokim. And then the third parak starts off with the story of Briyas HaElam. So some of Farshim want to say, and I think it makes a lot of sense, that the first two chapters of Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer were added on afterwards. And really, the sefer starts from chapter from Perek Gimel, where it says in the beginning of Perek Gimel, it says Pasach Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus Pasach Mil Malal Gvuris Hashem Miyashmiya Kolti Lasoy, and then it starts darshaning about different things about Briyas HaElam. That's the beginning of Perek Gimel. The first two prokim is a whole story about how Rabbi Eliezer went from being a Pashat farmer to being a big Talmud Chacham. Could be mistamol, even the name Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Lav Dafka, came from him himself. The teachings of Perek Gimel and onwards that he set over someone later on was Mesederet, added these first two prakim and gave it the name Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. But some of the name itself, I don't think he wrote a sefer and called it Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Could be he did. I don't think it's mukhach to say that he did such a thing. But it's a very interesting thing to see this the Rekeach. The Rekeach is one of the Gedolim of the Chassidei Ashkenaz, who is the Talmud Rabbi Yudah Chassid. The Rekeach wrote a sefer of halacha, minhagim, different inyanim. The Rekeach, called the Rekeach HaGadol, he wrote, there's other from also that are miyuchas to the Beis Medrash of the Rekeach. The Rekeach, in his introduction to his sefer Rekeach, he writes the following. Why did I call my sefer Rekeach? His name was Rabbi Lozer of Gemaiza. Why did I call my sefer Rekeach? He says, the Karasi sefer is the Rekeach b'shmi Elozer. I called the sefer Rekeach in my name Elozer. Why? V'simin Rekeach merkachas masi Rekeach shmai Elozer ben Yehuda. Because if you take the pasuk Rekeach merkachas masi Rekeach, you can get to the gematria of my name Elozer ben Yehuda. And now he says something interesting. Call Adam Tzarech Lirshem Shmai B'Sifrei. Every person should write his name in his sefer. Meaning, it sounds like it means that you should put your name in the name of the sefer. K'mai Tana Debe Eliyahu Masra Vayigayish as Adam Lefi Kain Vayigayish K'mai Tana Debe Eliyahu. It's the sefer Tana Debe Eliyahu starts with the words the pasuk Vayigayish Min Adam and the words Vayigayish Min Adam is the word Vayigayish Min Gematria equals Tana Debe Eliyahu. And Medrash Tadshei, which is also known as Medrash Tadshei, is printed in the Eitzer Midrashim. Medrash Tadshei Maschil Tadshei Aretz Deshe pasuk in Parshas Bereishis K'mai Zeru Pinchas Ben Yair. It was a Medrash written by the Tana Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair. Medrash Tadshei Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair was either a father-in-law or a son-in-law of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, as two gersois. But Medrash Tadshei and the word Tadshei Aretz Deshe is gematria Zeru Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair. Medrash Rabbah also is miyuchas to Rav Hishaya HaGadol, and apparently in the beginning of the sefer is Merumah his name also. And he says Uprakim de Rabbi Eliezer, he's called it Prakim de Rabbi Eliezer, not Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Prakim de Rabbi Eliezer Maschilin Miyamala Gevuras Hashem. It starts with the words Miyamala Gevuras Hashem, which in gematria is K'moy Eliezer de Hurkanus. In gematria Miyamala Gevuras Hashem equals Eliezer ben Hurkanus, the machaber of Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. You have to know exactly how to cheshbon it, but that's what it says. The beginning of the sefer is Miyamala Gevuras Hashem. That's what the Rekeach says, and then he says Seder Olam also Maschil Me Adam VeAdnoach. Seder Olam starts off with the words Me Adam Adnoach and Me Adam Adnoach, and Me Adam is gematria to the name of the Tanna Rabbi Yosi. Other mafreshim also bring down different svarim that were written that the name of the sefer, the beginning of the sefer, or part of the sefer, is meramez to who wrote the sefer. The Mata Meisha, Rav Meisha Moss, who was the Talmud of the Marshal, he has the sefer Mata Meisha, which is halacha min hagim. He writes that the third parak of Eicha starts with the words ani hagever ro ani. He says ani hagever begematria is Yirmiyahu. And we know the Gemara in Bava Basra says that Eichel, Megillas Kinos was written by Yirmiyahu Navi. Also, he brings down the first pasuk in Tehillim Ashrei Ish. No, that's the first pasuk. I forgot. Ashrei Shelo Halach Batzos Rasham, right? So that's the first pasuk in Tehillim. So if you calculate the gematria of the first pasuk in Tehillim, so you get to the gematria of the names of the 10 people that the Gemara in Bava Basra says wrote Tehillim: Avram, Moshe, David, Shlomo, Asaf, Asir, Elkanah, and Avi Asaf. The 10 people who were contributed to writing a sefer Tehillim. So you see different places that the meram is to the name of the mechaber in the sefer, or in the name of the sefer, even. I once had a question on this Rekeach that I asked my Rebbe, and he gave me a simple answer, and I saw a different sefer that says that asks this question and says a different answer, and I'll say it over a little bit right now. The Pirush Rekeach al Torah, which some people say was not written by the Rekeach himself, was written by maybe one of his Talmidim, but some people say it was written by the Rekeach. Pirush Rekeach al Torah in Parshas Matos talks about something interesting. In the end of Parshas Matos, so we have it says it's talking about the conquering of the Eretz Ever Yadin. So it says the Yor went and he conquered land and he called it Chaviz Yor. And Noivach went and he conquered land. Veikrolo Noivach Bishmoy. He called it Noivach. His name was Noivach. He went. He conquered the land and he called it Noivach. And if you look at Rashi over there, it says Veikrolo Noivach Bishmoy. There's no dot in the word in the hay of Veikrolo Noivach Bishmoy. So Rashi says because the name didn't stay. It didn't last. For whatever reason, it didn't last. Why didn't it last? I don't know. But maybe if we learn the Rekech, we can get a little bit better idea. The Rekech says, "Mi shekarei beisoi oy iroi oy sifroi al shmai tzarech levakish rachemim sheyichu banov oy hu ha'isaken." A person who calls his house or his city or his sefer on his own name, he should be mevakish rachemim that he and his kids would live. And it sounds like a pretty serious transgression here. He's saying, like, if you call, you know, if your name is Alexander and you go and you open a city and you call it Alexandria, you better be careful. You might die early, right? And the Kachaba, Alexander the Great, he wasn't so old when he died. He went around the world, starting cities or conquering cities, and he called it Alexandria, and other such things. So if you read, if you have a house or a city or a sefer, you shouldn't call it your name. If you do, he's saying it in a nice way. He's saying it's a shtigl sakana to do it. That's what Rekech is saying. So I was once wondering that this Rekech seems to be a contradiction to what we said before from the Rekech. The Rekech said you should be meram is your name to the name of the sefer or to the beginning words of the sefer. You know, he's saying it's not a good idea.
Name.
Huh? So I asked Rabbi Rav Yosef Yitzchok Lerner Shlita, the Mechaber of Shmiras HaGuf HaNefesh. I asked him, you know, how do you understand this Rekech? So he said a parsha and a chiluk, like what you're saying. If you call your sefer, you know, I don't know, if your name is Moshe Shmuel, right, and you call your sefer Divrei Moshe Shmuel, so that's not a good idea. But if your name is Moshe Shmuel and you call your sefer Bishagam Hu Basar, Bishagam is a remnant to Moshe Rabbeinu, so that's it's a remnant to your name, so then that's okay. That's one way of answering the machlekes between the Pirush Rekech al Torah and the Sefer Rekech in the Rekech HaGadol. Also, interestingly, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid in Savas, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid writes like this. It's not clear exactly what he's talking about, but the different mafreshim say different things, and it could be he's talking about a very similar thing that we're talking about. He says, "Lo yichtav adam al sefer shalihu." A person shouldn't write on the sefer that it's mine. Al yichtav lav shmoi b'li shalihu. He shouldn't write shalihu that it's mine. You should write your name without writing that it's mine. So there's different ways to understand what Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is talking about. Some of Freshim say that you shouldn't take your physical sefer and write, "This belongs to Reuven Chaim Klein." You shouldn't do that. You should just write Reuven Chaim Klein. And some of Freshim even say that it's not talking about just the sefer, it's talking about even your shirt. Don't write on your shirt, "This belongs to Reuven Chaim Klein." Write on your shirt, "Reuven Chaim Klein." But some of Freshim say, no, it's only talking about a sefer. It's not talking, if that's what it's talking about. Other Mefreshim say that what it's talking about is that when you write a sefer, you shouldn't write in the sefer shalihu that I wrote this sefer. Reuven Chaim Klein wrote this sefer. No, don't write who wrote the sefer. You should remain anonymous. Ya'alim shmoy from the sefer. It should be not clear who wrote it. But you should be meram as your name in it. That's what he says. But you should be meram as your name in it. So some people wanted to say that the Rekech argues on Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. I saw a sefer that actually says that, even though the Rekech is a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Not say the Rekech argues in him, but I don't think it's machlokes. The Rekech is saying don't put your name in the sefer, meaning don't call it straight out. You know, Divrei Moshe Shmuel. What you should do is be meramis to your name, and I think that Rabbi Yehuda Chassid and the Rekech, everything goes together very nicely. Stam, before moving back to the main topic of Pirkei Rabbeinu, just why nowadays do people write their names in their sefer? If Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says, you know, you should remain anonymous, why do this sefer was written by a person and we know what his name was? You know, this sefer was written by a person, we know what his name was, and the footnotes on the bottom of that, we know who his name was. So what's the pshat now? So Rav Chaim Falachi, and he has a sefer called Teichachas Chaim on Chumash in Parshas Bahalei Scha. So he writes that Lamaisa nowadays you should be mafarsim who wrote the sefer, because otherwise people will think maybe some Russia wrote it or something like that, and then people won't take it seriously or they won't read it. So you should be mafarsim who wrote the name of this, who wrote the sefer. Similarly, in the sefer Yitav Lev, it was written, I think, by the Satmar Rebbe's father, or the Satmar Rebbe's grandfather. I think it was his father's grandfather. The Yitav Lev in his Akdama writes that when a person writes a halacha sefer, you should write who you are. You should write your name. So maybe one could be like you're taking a chray. It's like this is what I hold, and you know you could be semich on me. But then the kudah is that you know if you have to know, you know, one nekudah, yeah, that first nekudah, you have to know who's saying it. If you want to follow like that halacha, you want to follow whatever he's ruling, you have to know who's saying it. It's some guy who doesn't know what he's talking about, so then you know, we should listen to him. But it has to be somebody who's taking achrayas for what he says. That's one nekuda. But he says the Yitav Lev says that. But when a person writes an agadata sefer, it's agadata. You don't have to write your name in it. Because if a person wants to read it, he can read it. He'll take what you say seriously. He'll take away not so seriously. People make their own decisions when it comes to Agadata. Then came along the Satmar Rebbe and his sefer Divrei Yael in Parshas Chayesara, and he says, "Bizman is there. Every sefer you have to write who you are, because you know even if it's an Agadata sefer, it could be that one person would think it sounds good, but maybe you have krum hashkafas. You could be mekalkel people's deus and hashkafas, and then you're really saying the wrong thing, and you're putting it in a very subtly, and people don't notice it, and they can't be mavchin between what's emes and what's sheker. So everyone has to write the name of their sefer. So nowadays, you don't have to be chayshish for Rebbeinu Chassid or Keach or whatever to not write. You know, you should. I think it's better dafka to write your name in the sefer. It shows a chayis. Going back to Pirkei de Belezer, we're gonna finish off with this last section over here. I want to speak about who is Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer, the Tana, the author of the sefer. It's a shtickle zaytik issue, aside nekuda, but just to speak about who is Rebbe Eliezer, different things about him, to get a clear picture of what happened to him, whatever. The first two prokim in Pirkei de Belezer, we're going to speak about how he went from being a farmer at Pashat to being a big Talmid Chacham, and what happened afterwards, and who is he? So, just to begin, there is a medrash, it's a medrash Tanchuma, I believe it's in Pashat Chukas. It says in the pasuk, "V'shem Achad Eliezer." It says, "Parshas Yisra." It says that Moshe Rabbeinu had two sons. Asher Shem Ha'Echad Gershoim, Ki Omar Ger Ha'Yisi Be'etz Nochia. V'shem Achad Eliezer, Ki Omar Ki Avi Be'ezi Be'etz Lina Mechayev Parei. Right. So it says Moshe Rabbeinu had two sons. One, the name of the one was Gershoim, Ger Ha'Yisi Be'etz Nochia, and the name of the one was Eliezer. So the Medrash Dashan is, what does it mean? The name of the one. So the name of the one is the name of the second. So what is it? The name of the one and the name of the one. She said the name of the second. So from this, the Medrash understands that there was something special about Eliezer. While we're still calling, even though we're listening him second, we're still calling him the one, Shem Ha'Echad. Why? Why is he called Shem Ha'Echad? So the Medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, so he heard somebody darshaning the first mishnah and misachas para bash nasayim egla bas shalish. I think that's the first mishnah para. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Well, who is this guy? I hope that this person who's darshaning this, I hope he's going to be one of my descendants." And that was Rebbe Eliezer. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw Rebbe Eliezer Shemayim, and he wanted Rebbe Eliezer to be one of his descendants. So that's what means Shem Rachad Eliezer. It's a Jewish that the Medrash Tanchuma says. So that's Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer is also called in other places Rebbe Eliezer Hagadol. That's another name for him. We're going to see also later on in the first two Pukim, his father's name was Hurkanus, so he's also called sometimes Rebbe Eliezer ben Hurkanus. Some Mefarshim say that when we say Stam Rebbe Eliezer in the Mishnah, so some of Farshim say that always means Rebbe Eliezer ben Hurkanus or Rebbe Eliezer Gadol, our Machaber over here. But other Mefarshim say that sometimes it also mean it could also mean Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. The Seder Durs discusses that. I think he brings from Halichos Olam that says that Stam Rabbi Elazar is Rabbi Elazar ben Hukranus, and he says that there's a Rashi, I forgot where, the Rashi says that Rabbi Elazar means Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. But most instances, Stam Rabbi Elazar is Rabbi Elazar ben Hukranus, our Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar Gadol. He was the Rav in Lud. Lud is where the airport is, Ben Gurion Airport in Lud. So that's where he was the Rav. And we're going to see in the Perek Aleph and Perek Beis and Perek Rav Elazar that Rav Elazar was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was the Nasi of Klal Yisrael. He was the Nasi in the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. And Rabbi Elazar, also the Gemara says about Rabbi Elazar that Rabbi Elazar shamusihu. Rabbi Elazar is mistaken. Or another way of translating the word shamusi is he's a shamaynik. Apparently, Rabbi Elazar also learned afterwards. He went to Beis Menorah, to Yeshiva Beis Shammai. He became a Beis Shammainik, and from that we say that a lot of the times we don't paskin like Rabbi Elazar because he goes with Beis Shammai and we go with Beis Hillel and Bezer. We know that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a Talmud of Hillel. Gemara Bava Basra says that Hillel had 70, 80 Talmidim? I forgot what it was. 80 Talmidim? I think 80 Talmidim. Hillel had 80 Talmidim. The most chashav of his Talmidim was Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel, who Gemara says that when he would learn that the birds would flying over would get burnt from the fire of his Torah. That's the most chashav of Hillel's Talmidim. And kilu the shvachest kibiyochel of his Talmidim was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he became the Nasi. Right? So Rabbi Elazar is the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, as we're going to see. But afterwards, apparently, he went and he became a part of Beis Shammai, and because of that, we say Rabbi Elazar Shamusi. Rabbi Elazar's Talmidim is from the most chashuv Tanaim. We have Rabbi Kiva is one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, a lot of other Tanaim are students of Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Gimel, I think, says that Unkelus Hager, the one who wrote Targum Unkelus, he wrote it kifi what he learned from Rabbi Elazar. So Unkelus Hager is also Talmud Rabbi Elazar, and the Gemara is saying that if there's a difference in opinion, and Rabbi Elazar would hold one way and other people would hold a different way, so Unkelus translated the Torah in a way that it's compatible with what Rabbi Elazar holds, which is an interesting nekuda. Rabbi Elazar, in a lot of places in Shas, Rabbi Elazar argues with Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua, they always go together, and there's a lot of different arguments between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua. Just to speak out one of the arguments between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua, there's a famous one. When was the world created? B'tishrei Nivra Olam or B'nisan Nivra Olam? It's a famous machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua. Tesis in Rosh Hashanah maybe has a way of reconciling how it's not really a machlokes, but on the surface it looks like it's a machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua. Interestingly, in Targum Yonasan on this week's parsha, in Parshas Noach, what's the nafkam between the machlokes B'tishrei Nivra Olam and B'nisan Nivra Olam? One of the nafkam usually when the Torah says a date, so we know the month starts from Nisan. And Nisan is the first month, Iyar is the second month, v'chulu. HaChodesh is Alachem Reish Chodashim. Nisan is the first month. But that only comes from Yitzis Mitzrayim and onwards. Before Yitzis Mitzrayim, when the Torah says a date, so it's Mistama going from Briyas Ha'olam. The question is, when is Briyas Ha'olam? Is it in Tishrei or Nisan? So all the dates in the Torah that are before HaChodesh is Alachem, we don't know if it's starting from Tishrei or from Nisan. So that's Machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Elazar holds B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, we start from Tishrei, and Rabbi Yeshua holds B'Nisan Nivra Olam, we start from Nisan. Now the only nafkamina in this Machlokes is the Psukim in Parshas Noach, where it talks about the Mabul, and we don't know when it says the 17th day on the second month, is that talking about Cheshvan, according to Rabbi Elazar, or is it talking about Iyar, according to Rabbi Shua? So Targum Yonasan says straight out, we go like Rabbi. He goes. You know, it's talking about Cheshvan. He goes like Rabbi Elazar. Rashi says it's totally the Machlokes. at least in one place in the Parsha, Rashi says it's Tali in the Machlekes. Rashi doesn't necessarily take sides. He's just bringing that's the Machlekes. But Targum Yonason goes like Rabbi Yonason. Now Targum Yonason on Chumash was not written by Rabbi Yonason Uziel. It was written after Rabbi Yonason ben Uziel. And we said before that Targum Yonason has some kesher to Pirkei de Avot Ezra, because the two of them share a lot of the same ideas that are not found in other Svarim. So that's an interesting thing to note. It's not most another thing in Targum Yonason in the sixth parasha by the Dor HaPalaga. So it says that we're gonna go mix up their languages. So Rashi has a pshat why Hashem said it in Lashon Rabbim. We're gonna go mix up their languages, but Pirkei de Avot Ezra, I don't remember Pirkei de Avot Ezra says it as a drush on that pasuk or just says it as the story. But Pirkei de Avot Ezra says that what happened was Hashem sent 70 angels to go and mix up the languages into 70 different languages, and people got confused. Right? So that's what Pirkei de Avot Ezra says, and Targum Yonason says the same thing. Hashem sent 70 angels and made 70 different languages. So there you have also another instance where you have Targum Yonason saying the same thing as Pirkei de Avot Ezra, which is not like Rashi and other Mefarshim. So we have Rabbi Eliezer. And we discussed machlekes in between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua, and there's tons of other machlekes in between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua. I have a sefer over here called Kivitz Yisedis V'Chakiras, which goes through the underlying premises and ideas between different machlekes and chakiras and a lot of yeshivish type raid and lamdas. But in the back he has a list of lishitosums and different mahalchim in different tanoim and amiroim. So he has a whole arichus, but he has two pages over here of listing off different approaches taken by Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua to the same issue, and showing how Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua are different from each other. I could pass it around if you want. You could look and see the different machlekes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua in how they look at different things. That's one nekuda. Machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua. On the other hand, even though Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Eliezer argued a lot, but they were also very good friends. And we find the Gemara in Gittin says that when they wanted to bring Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to go visit Vespasian, the Roman emperor who had a siege around Yerushalayim before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. And this is the famous story in Gittin where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai went to, and he called him the king, or he called him emperor. He said, "What do you mean emperor? I'm not the emperor. I'm just a general. I came here to fight." And then it was a nevuah that he was going to become emperor. And then a few minutes later, they came in with messengers and said, "Oh, the emperor died, and they made you the emperor." And then he went back and he sent his son Titus to go destroy the Beis Hamikdash. But Al Kapanu had Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai get in. Yerushalayim was under siege. So what they did was, They pretended like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was dead. They put him in a coffin, and then Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua, who are they argue with each other. They were the ones that carried his coffin. Kilo, we're going outside of Yerushalayim to go bury him, because they're not allowed to bury people in Yerushalayim, except for Malchi Beis David. And they were the ones who were able to sneak Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai out of the siege of Yerushalayim, and he was able to go to Vespasian, and he was able to save Yavne v'Chachameha, etc., etc. So we have Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua, even though they're bar pluxas, they argue with each other, but they also work together. Another famous story about Rabbi Lezer is called Tanur Shal Achnai. Rabbi Lezer, there's a halacha that a kli cheres, a vessel made out of pottery, if it becomes tamei, that's it. There's no way that you could be metahir it. You can't put it in the mikvah to be metahir. You have to destroy it. There's nothing you could do about it. So a kli cheres that becomes tamei, so the only thing you could do is smash it. If you smash it and rebuild it, so now it's tahir, because once you smashed it, it's no longer a kli, it became tahir, and then when you rebuild it, it's a new thing. So the question is, what would be if you made an oven, let's say, of the way I understood it, it's sort of like you made an oven out of Legos, or out of a kli cheres of Legos, and you put it together, and then let's say it becomes tamei, so you take it apart and then you put it back together, and then it's good, right? That's what Rabbi Eliezer held. Rabbi Eliezer held that Tanur Shal Achnai is tar. The other Chachamim said no such thing. You do it like that, it doesn't work. It's still tamei, because it was made to be taken apart and put back together. Tanur Shal Achnai. So it was a whole machlekes Gemara in Bava Metzia talks about machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim about this story, about this machlekes, and it was mamish. It was a very shver machlekes that they were arguing, and Rabbi Eliezer made all kinds of. He said, like, you know, if I'm right, then, you know, this tree should move from here to here. You know, if I'm right, this river that's flowing like this should start flowing backwards. If I'm right, the walls of the Beis Medrash should start caving in. And all these things happened, and Abbas Kol even came out and said, no, what are you doing? The halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. And Afal Pekin, Rabbi Yeshua Aimer, Eimash Kichim Abbas Kol. Rabbi Yeshua holds, we don't listen to Abbas Kol. What? Leiba Shemaimi and Eimash Kichim Abbas Kol. That's two different nekudas. Leiba Shemaimi and Eimash Kichim Abbas Kol. You can handle why the Gemara had to say both things, but Kobe has to do with.
Those are both reasons together, I think.
Yeah, you have to know what each one is adding on. Could be because of the fact that Rabbi Lezer, anyway, because there's a Baskel that says that the halach is like Beis Hillel. So if you say that Rabbi Lezer Shamusi, he goes like Beis Shammai, so who cares that he goes like Beis Shammai? But if you hold it, you don't listen to a Baskel, so then there's no adifus of Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai. So that's why you need both.
But because they're the right.
What?
They're
the right. So it's a thesis in Yevamis that says that the shaila between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is what's better, roiv or charif tfei, or mechadadi tfei, which one's more chashuv to go to pasuk, like the roiv or the people who are smarter. Beis Shammai was smarter, but Beis Hillel was the roiv. So that's in the Kudah. The Baskel came out and said, no, the halacha is like the roiv, even though Beis Shammai is smarter, but we go like the roiv. Al Kapanim, there was a whole machlekes of a tanush, and they ended up putting Rabbi Lezer in Cherim. They excommunicated him. It could be before he died they took it away, or after he died they took it away. There's actually a story of when in the Gemara Sanhedrin talks about when Rabbi Lezer was an old man, and he was very sick, and he was on his deathbed, and all the different chachamim came to visit him, and he started saying all kinds of things to everyone. He told Rabbi Kiva, like, you know, I see in the future you're gonna die a misa mishuna. But Kachava, Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara in the end of Brachas talks about how Rabbi Kiva they killed Rabbi Kiva of Marmisha, terrible, horrible story. But Rabbi Lezer had episodes of these nevuahs right before he died about what's going to happen to all these different chachamim. But in this story, it was mamish him against everyone else. So they put him in cherem. It was mamish shrek l'chamatzev. One more nekuda before we finish. Stam, another interesting thing about Rabbi Lezer, which is not so famous, that I thought the island would find it a little bit interesting. There's another story about Rabbi Lezer that. One time, Rabbi Eliezer, again, Rabbi Eliezer is living in this time of the end of the Second Beis Hamikdash, after the destruction of the Second Beis Hamikdash under Roman rule, and the Romans in that period, one of the things that they were doing was they were persecuting the early Christians. So or the people that had the same deus as the early Christians. So there's a Tesefta Maseches Chulin. The Tesefta says that Maisa Rabbi Eliezer shenitpas al divrei minus. They want the Romans came and they arrested Rabbi Eliezer for having divrei minus, for basically being Christian. So the hello is the bomb ladun. So they brought him to the judge to have his din. Omer loy oisa hegman zaken kamosli yaslik bedvarim halalu. The judge says to Rabbi Eliezer, you're an old man. You're involved in these type of things. Come on. So Amar Lo Neman Dayan Alai. So Rabbi Eliezer said, whatever the Dayan says is Neman. I believe I put my full trust in the Dayan. Yeah. So the judge thought that Rabbi Eliezer was saying that you done, Mr. Judge, whatever you rule, I trust in you. The Dayan that took that as a compliment. He's big. Really, Rabbi Eliezer meant whatever Hashem is going to cause to happen in this case. No, I'm a kabbal that Hashem was bringing upon me, but the Dayan thought that he was complimenting the judge. So the judge said, "Okay, you're off the hook." But then what happened was, Rabbi Eliezer felt bad afterwards. That like it was like a bizarre for it was like big tamu chacham, and he was arrested for being a Christian. Like it bothered him that like maybe even made a chol Hashem. People heard about that he was arrested for being a Christian. It was bothering him. It was mitzvah him. His talmidim came to console him, to get him to calm down. It wasn't. It still kept bothering him. Nichnas Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva came. Rabbi Kiva is his Talmud who said, "Va'amalai, Rabbi, I'm a lefanecha davar. Maybe I could say something to you. Shema ena tam. Lamecha davar shema ena tam meitzar. Maybe I could say something and it'll cause it that you won't be so upset. Amalai, Amar, you'll say it. Amalai, he said, Shema echad min aminu amalecha davar shalminus v'hanacha." Maybe a Christian said something, a min said something, and you heard something, and you chapped a out of it. You enjoyed it. That's actually what happened. Omerloi Hashemayim, I swear he's katani. You just reminded me that pam achas I used to I was once walking down the street, or maybe in the town square in Tzipari, and but sosi. Yaakov ish kfar sachanya v'omar dover shel minus. There was this guy Jacob from kfar sachanya, and he was saying Christian teachings divrei minus v'haneni. And all interestingly, in the Tosefta, in the Lieberman edition of the Tosefta, it has an extra few words. It says v'omar dover shel minus b'shem Yeshua ben Pandaria, in the name of that guy. And I enjoyed it. I got hanor on it, and because of that, it was a different minus. Shavat a different terror. Because I was a kilu, I got hanor from some Christian teaching. Because of that, Hashem gave me einish that I was arrested for a different minus for Christian teachings. Shavat a different terror because I transgressed the different terror that it says in Mishlei. Harchik malah d'ragaga v'al tikrav pesach beisa. It's talking about a zayna. It says harchik malah, stay away from her. D'ragaga v'al tikrav pesach beisa. Don't go near the entrance to her house. But we know that the mishalim in Mishlei zayna is a marshal for chachmei minus. And it's saying that you should stay away from Chachmei Minus. And Rabbi Lezer, he walked down and he heard it, and he had a knot, and because of that, he's saying that's why he was punished. So I don't know if it means that he was like walking down the street and he heard like one of these like Christian preachers saying like, "Yo, the end of day is near. Oh, repent, oh sinners, and the day of reckoning is upon us," or something like that. And he said, "Oh, you know, Taka, maybe I should do tshuva." So I don't think it was even like. It was like mamash a Christian teaching. Maybe it was like stam. Like he was saying stam. The Christians, they dashing about all kinds of stuff, and he took that as a muslim for himself, and he tried to make himself better. Even like api divrei Torah, but it came from a Christian guy who was saying al divrei minus. Maybe to lighten it, to say that Rabbi Lezer wasn't really listening to a Christian preacher. He took up a muslim word from him. I know. Al kapanim, that's Rabbi Lezer. Next week, Be'ezus Hashem, we will start the actual Sefer. And I'll pee what I was saying before. We'll try to go through it and say the Pashup Shat and read through it. What I would like is if anyone who wants to buy a copy of Pirkei Blazer, I guess it's only three people, right? You want to buy a copy? I went to the store and I found there's a cheaper one which only has the Bayis HaGadol. I think it would cost like 22 shekel. So anyway, if anyone could write down their name and phone number and email address, so like if you have email address, so I could like give you updates, like if we're gonna have a shiur, we're not gonna have a shiur, if it's gonna be late or whatever. And Be'ezras Hashem, we'll see each other next week, 7:00. Hopefully we'll be over there maybe, because if we get the lights or whatever, I don't know what happened this week, but if not there, then here. Be'ezras Hashem next week, 7:00. Okay, call to Shkerech.